Coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, you are now listening to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony.
And I'm Daphne J.
Welcome back, everybody. Daphne J, what's going on?
You always ask me that question and never know what to say.
Do I scare you with the opening, like, excitement that I...
Because you're right here. And then you're just like, welcome back. And then la, 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 la.
It's like, my showmanship.
Oh, man. I woke up.
You're awake.
Yeah.
You're ready.
I'm here.
Okay, you're ready to take a nap before.
Not really anymore.
No, I startled you. It's been a while. We had to come into the cave and dust a couple things off, look for the microphone amongst the rubble, if you will. But we're finally back. And you know it's been a long time when you haven't done an episode, when people start saying, hey, what's going on? I don't mean to be like a nuisance, but like, hey.
We got nudged a couple of times.
We got a couple nudges.
That's okay.
That's good.
This is good.
And you find out that other people are actually listening, not just like the two people listening. You find out from word of mouth that, hey, I listened to you the podcast. When's the next episode coming? So we are back. You know what? No apologies, but sometimes life happens. And sometimes the game of life deals you a hand that you just got to play first and come back to the fun of things later on. But now we're back to winning.
Winning.
Winning Charlie Sheen style. Actually, no, he's...
No, that's not a good...
No, that's not a good win. No,
you should take that back.
Yeah, because he's...
He's not winning.
Edit. So, since we did our last episode, a lot of things have gone down in the month of May.
Mm-hmm.
As far as our entertainment interests and hobbies and stuff like that go. One of the big things in our city, going on right now, as you like to say, Toronto Raptors making history. We got to send a shout out to them and make sure on our show we remember the time when the Toronto Raptors went this far into the NBA playoffs. Are you into it? Do you think they can do it? Take the next step to upset the whole league and go to the NBA Finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I'm into it when they're into it. Like, I'm not... There's... Yeah, I'm into it. They just need to pay attention. I don't know what this... Like, and they don't just lose... They don't just lose the game. They get spanked when they lose.
Spanked. They get spanked, punished, sent to their room, and loss of all television privileges. And then they come back to the city, and it's like a completely different team that everybody's like, who are these guys?
Right.
So I think that's the frustrating part, is that there's...
And very nerve-wracking, because you don't know... There's no consistency in their...
You never know who's going to show up.
No.
It's, yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to see them hand the Cavaliers the only two losses that they've had in the playoffs, which is pretty remarkable that the Cavaliers had gone 10 wins in a row. It's not often that that happens. Do you know who has the best playoff streak?
Yes.
Who is it?
Like a person or a...
No. Which team has the best playoff performance in modern history?
The Bulls.
No.
The Lakers?
The Lakers.
That was going to go...
Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, I knew this. Because they keep showing statistics on the TV every time I watch the game. And I pay attention.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember which season it was?
Wasn't it 90... 2000... Six?
No.
Two.
I think it was 2002 or 2003. My memory is not serving me correct.
Why are you quizzing me on this?
I'm trying to ask if you remember, because I don't remember. You're the one who's following the statistics. You say, I pay attention. I see the statistics. So, do you remember? But I know it wasn't the years.
Guys, listen. It was a little box on the bottom left corner. They showed their name, and they showed a year, and they said something about them.
You know what? You do follow statistics. I will... agree with you on that, because every time you see something that interests you, you always send me a text, because you watch the highlights more than I do in the morning.
This is true.
So you do follow the statistics, but I don't think you confuse your years, but that's okay.
I confuse my authors, I confuse my artists, my inkers, I make up names.
Your actors.
Whatevs.
The guy.
Come see, come sa.
They're nice. So the Raptors play... They got a couple more games, two more games to go at this point in time as we record this, and possible game seven, who knows. And on the other end, in the Western Conference, this is not a sports podcast, but I just feel it's appropriate.
You should do one. Now that you just said it, I'm like, oh, he should have a thing.
I should have an episode, special episode where we talk sports. Mm-hmm. Shoot, top five.
Oh, wow. I'm excited already.
On the Western Conference aspect of it, the Golden State Warriors are climbing themselves out of a hole.
Yeah, they were getting spanked too.
Yeah, it's like, it's the weirdest Western Conference final that I remember seeing where a favorite, like the Golden State Warriors, are everyone's completely shocked. And on the other spectrum, seeing an underdog, well, not really an underdog, but a team that has been getting their butt handed to them, come back into a series and make everyone wonder, like, could history happen?
Right.
So, should be interesting.
Exciting times in the NBA.
Exciting times in the NBA and in the T-Dot, or the Six. You're old if you say T-Dot now.
Oh, is that what it is?
I guess, because it's now the Six, and there's like a hand sign for it. You give something stupid, put it to your eye. I'm too old for that stuff. Okay, now getting to the important things in life that we haven't addressed. A couple movies have come out.
Yeah.
This month. I've had a little bit of extra time on my hands, so I saw a couple more movies. Saw The Jungle Book.
Oh, did you?
Of course, I had to. You wouldn't join me to watch it, and I wouldn't take you to that movie to watch it, because I don't think that the supermarket has enough Kleenex. Because I cried while I watched it.
But no.
Yes.
I did. What? Do you cry? See, if you cried, I would have died.
Yes. It was a great movie. Disney's kicking butt.
It's a Disney movie.
Of course it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, of course it is. I knew that.
Come on.
So, what was your favorite part? What'd you do? When did you find yourself going to cry? No, don't tell me. What did you like about The Jungle Book particularly?
I thought, even though it was like a very CGI heavy movie, there was a lot of times where I felt immersed in the world that the little boy lived in. Like, I knew that there was stuff that was definitely, oh, that's not real. But there were moments where, like, you get enthralled by the entire world that's been created. Jon Favreau directed it, guy who did Iron Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he did a really good job. I heard it was going to be good. It looked interesting. I knew I definitely wanted to watch it, but I didn't think I would have such a wonderful a movie-going experience with it. Like, it was made you laugh. It made you a little scared, not like terrified, but you know, on the edge of your seat, and you're invested in the whole thing. And then, of course, there's those emotional moments with, because it's just the little boy. There's no other humans in it, except for there's a flashback scene of him and his father. Okay. But there isn't him directly interacting with.
So this whole movie is him and stuff.
Yeah.
And technology, really.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did a really good job. And like I said, even though you know that the animals are CGI'd, after a while you start forgetting. Like, yeah, that is Baloo.
Well, that you become immersed in the story.
Yeah. So it was very,
Is it just as good as the animated movie?
You know?
Better? Different?
I have to tip my hat to the animated movie, because I didn't realize before having seen this movie. Like, I knew it was an older Disney movie, but I didn't know it was from the 60s. That blew my mind. It was
the 60s.
It was like 1967.
I saw that when I was like...
Yeah, we all grew up on Jungle Book.
I thought that was new.
Like 80s.
Yeah.
From what I saw, it was 1967 was the animated. That's when it came out.
The one that we know?
Yes. Yeah, the animated one with all the songs. The Disney one. That's the one from 1967. I didn't realize that. Now, I could be wrong, but I did look it up on Wikipedia after I had left the theater. Because there's, you know, the live-action Jungle Book from the 90s, where it's like an adult Mowgli.
I didn't like that one.
No, that wasn't good. And then there's an original one. I think it's an original one that is a Bollywood-style movie. Like, it's all Indian actors. Because the author wrote the book about a specific, like, a real Indian jungle. And that's where he was in India at the time. I forget the guy's name, but it is a specific place.
It makes sense to me now that you say it's that old, because I remember seeing The Jungle Book and thinking that the animation looked fuzzy. Like, it wasn't as sharp as, I don't know, The Little Mermaid and right. All of that other stuff. It's like kind of looking at Toy Story today and going back to...
Even Aladdin.
Exactly. They were sharper, but that one always looked like it was kind of antique-y.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right
word. Yeah, it's in the same, has the same kind of look as maybe even the this is maybe too much of a stretch, but like the Snow Whites and the Cinderella's.
Yeah, exactly,
and the,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it holds up still, right? Like, that's how good the original Jungle Book was. So this movie really was a wonderful adaptation of everything that you knew and expected if you grew up on that animated Jungle Book, and then it added more of a certain dynamic that was a bit more engaging and visceral, because when you see the elephants, he doesn't just play with the little baby elephant. Mm-hmm. There's a certain weightiness to animals in the jungle that you explore more in this movie because it is live action. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I really...
You're going to see it. You have to see it. Because...
I'd like to. I just don't
you
know
you would
if
love
I could.
It. You know what? If it makes you, like...
I have to watch it by myself.
Yeah. If it's going to make you emote to the point that you can't take it and you don't want anyone to see it, that's okay. Watch it on your own, because it's going to make you feel happy. At the end of it all, it's a happy story.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like the animated one at the end. I don't like how he just, like, goes goo goo gaga for a chick and leaves Baloo and Bagheera.
Well, that's
I never liked
where,
that.
He
Is
found
that
where
what
he found where he belongs.
What?
In that movie. He needed to go back to the man's tribe. Right? And what else motivates men other than following a girl? Makes us do stupid stuff
ridiculous.
All the time.
Ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
But you'll like the ending of this movie.
So it's not the same.
It's not the same. But it's... The little boy is like the perfect Mowgli.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, I'm watching, I'm like, wow, like... He really embodies everything about that character without it looking... too silly.
So since it was so CGI, like, it is CGI heavy, and he was the only actor, did you find that the voices fit the characters in them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, really well.
So it was
well casted. Well casted, yeah.
What would you rate it?
Oh, man. Out of what? And, like, letters, like A to F?
Stars.
Stars?
5 stars? To 1. 1 to 5.
1 to 5. I give it a 4.5. Definitely more than a 4, a little less than a 5.
Why not a whole 5?
Because
you cried?
No. I just... For something to give it, like, the perfect mark, I think I have to let some time go by. For me to be like, yeah, that's... It holds up.
You have to watch it again.
You have to watch it again and
so
like, the repetition.
You didn't watch it again?
No. But okay. 4.5, like very strong. Very strong. A+.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I recommend. As well, getting back to the fanboy, fangirl mode that we are known for. This month, of course, was the month of Civil War, Captain America 3, that we both highly anticipated, finally got to see. Watching it that day, if you remember, we went on a mission of our own just to get to a theater in time. And I thought I was going to run out of gasoline and we would be stranded.
It was an adventure.
It was an adventure. And I was so stressed that day for numerous reasons. I didn't think that I would... I thought it would affect my viewing of the movie.
And?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So... Captain America 3, Civil War, it's been in the making as far as the build-up for the conflict and the confrontation between Captain America and Iron Man. And it's interesting because a lot of the reviews and write-ups about this movie, this will be the only time I mention it, is that it was heavily compared to Batman v Superman. Did you feel that going in? Your experience with Batman v Superman give you any sort of, like, fatigue or affect your desire to want to watch this movie since it was going to be very similar as far as themes and the conflicts between heroes?
I was excited to go watch it. And I kind of, I kind of looked forward to what Marvel was going to do with this story, because they had kind of have already, there was a build-up that lacked in Batman v Superman, so I felt a little bit more confident in in the story development that they were going to put together.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was very happy with it.
You were very happy with it. And you know, it was the thing that I was kind of concerned about was that reviews were coming out really quick with Civil War. Like weeks before the movie had been released in North America, there was already really high positive reviews, and then there's other places where it didn't get a negative review the way some other movies have this year, but it also kind of, some of the things I read kind of seemed like, it's fun, it's good, this is really great, but it kind of, it just stays at good, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying?
You're talking about Captain America?
About this particular Captain America. That was kind of some of the feedback I was getting from it. So I went in wondering if this is going to have that third movie syndrome that all the other trilogies kind of have, right, where you get to that third and they add so much story, so much character. Let's throw everything at the people in order to sell product and try to introduce as many different franchises spinning off of it. So I'm like, is it going to suck because of that? Is that going to suck the life out of it? And I'm, can't say I'm shocked, but I'm pleasantly surprised that this is possibly the best Marvel movie I have seen.
You would say you would go that far.
I when I left that theater, I left feeling like there was nothing in this movie. Okay, I shouldn't say there was nothing, but with all the moving parts, with all the characters, all the new characters that were being introduced, I couldn't believe how well they used each character and developed their story in a way that seemed natural and not forced. Where, you know, wherever they take them next, the groundwork has been laid well, that it doesn't seem shoehorned in. Or just like, remember, we here's a thing of this, so you know that guy's coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that? Do you agree? Like, did you worry about those things?
No, I'm trying to go into all these movies with low expectations or none at all. Because then I don't want to be, you know, geared to one side or the other. I don't want to be biased.
Right.
I know I was biased with Batman and Superman, and it was such a letdown. So, and I like Captain America. I read the comic books, so I felt like I had a bit of a history or an understanding of where it was going. I'm glad, and we'll get into it, and there's going to be spoilers, I'm sure. But I'm glad that my gripe isn't the fact that these movies don't stick to the script.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about staying true to the character and who they are. And there's nothing wrong with change. There's nothing wrong with mixing it up a bit. But as long as there's a reason for it and there's weight behind what you're trying to tell, change it up.
Right.
Do whatever you want to do.
Right.
But when you take an integral character and completely change his morale or his, I don't know, what makes him, it disrupts what I've always known about this
person. And your viewing experience too. Because you shouldn't ever, I don't think when you watch a film about a popular character that was created 70 years ago, and there's so much kind of established in the zeitgeist of that character's publishing history or what have you, when you put it to a movie, you can't, I don't feel you need, you can do as much of a take on it. You've got to do something that whenever the people who know a little bit or a lot about that character can all be like, yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling like, hey, I thought this guy doesn't he not do that?
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel that way. As much
or in this situation, that's not how he would react, or he would use his head in a different way or deduce things differently. So, like I said, change is good as long as there's some kind of, so, like, they didn't stick to specific
no
things in the actual Civil War story that we read. not everybody made an appearance. And I think those that did make an appearance, it was done tastefully. They didn't take up the whole movie. They just came in at the right time for a certain amount of time and then exited when they obviously weren't at that point needed anymore.
Yeah.
But you didn't forget them either.
No.
So I think it was done in a way that it wasn't overwhelming, but it was just perfect timing, perfect, you know, introductions and exits.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, everyone was used tastefully. I like that. Because you look at the title of this movie, and you know the comic book,
mm-hmm.
and you know how many moving parts there are in the comic book, and you're like, you're really putting everything on the table right now, is what you're saying. When you're a fan or just a average moviegoer, saying you're really going to try to tackle this expansive story that had X-Men tie-ins and Fantastic right. Four tie-ins and mm-hmm. all these other teams and characters that you don't even have the right to use. And there's a whole huge Spider-Man story arc involved in the Civil War comic that there's no way you can try to include that without it being stupid.
Right.
And to see that they were able to adapt it in a way that got the essence of the conflict between Cap and Iron Man, still using Spider-Man, which we'll get into a little bit more, like you said, tastefully. And as different as it is from the comic, it still packs the punch and the effect on the characters that the comic book has. And what I liked about it was that, because some people would accuse a comic book fan of saying, oh, you just want everything to be exactly like the comic book. They can't do that. Like, stop thinking. And what was good about this is that they didn't follow the mm-hmm. way you... Everything that I thought would happen in the movie, characters who I thought would make it or who would not make it, none of that was my preconceived notion. It was all like, oh, they didn't go that route. But the reason why they didn't makes perfect sense.
Right.
And it's like... refreshing.
And I found too that looking back at their individual movies, like watching The Avengers again or watching Captain America, and how like strong he's very proper about things and everything is for truth and justice, and then Tony has his thing. So having rewatched some of those movies and then seeing them also, it's like, yeah, these two do butt heads. They have a history of working together, but it's like...
And there's a build-up, and you see
it's a tumultuous relationship that
they have. Seeds planted, yeah.
Yeah. You see certain so seeds it's planted. Like, it's not a surprise all of a sudden that they're knocking each other out.
No.
And that there's a feel of betrayal or misunderstanding or...
Ideologies are different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, just a quick plot refresher for anyone who hasn't seen it. I'm sure you have at this point, that it's made a killing. The IMDb plot synopsis is very simple. Political interference in the Avengers activities causes a rift between former allies Captain America and Iron Man. And this is as close to the comic book that they could make it. So just to refresh our minds, because it's been a while since we've seen it, and we haven't seen it multiple times as we may have liked.
By choice. I didn't want to overdo it. I really did enjoy it, and I didn't want to be like...
tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can't... But with the Cap, Winter Soldier, I haven't gotten tired of it.
No.
And I've seen it way too many times. So I think that this might be the same, but I didn't want to overdo it. You're right. So they brought back Thunderbolt Ross from the Hulk movie, the General.
Yes.
To kind of get this conflict. Yeah, which
hate
was
that guy. I dislike him as much as I disliked Stryker.
Okay.
Those two characters, they make me want to scratch their eyes out. I hate them so much because I think their evil is so...
But is he evil?
So, yes. Their evil is so masked by this pretentious illusion of heroism and honor, and they're the most conniving manipulators that you can think of with.
Tell us how you really feel,
like,
Jeff.
No, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's why I hate Stryker. And I know we're going to get into it when we do the thing for the thing. But like, any version of Stryker, when he's old, young, anyone that's ever played him, I always want to go through the screen and just shake him.
Okay. You're losing track. We're talking about Avengers.
Okay, and this guy, I don't like him either.
He's same level as Stryker.
Same level. Put him in a cell. When I read him in the comic books, when I read Hulk Gray,
yeah.
That's who I thought about. Someone who's just like, will go to any means necessary and use anyone and their abilities to get what he wants.
Those are great characters though, because they make you invested, right? As soon as he shows up on the screen, you know that something's going to get you now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that there's going to be a rift caused and because he's there.
You're watching him present his case to these fine heroes and be like, this is for the people and this is for protection. But because he's saying it and because he's in the room, you're like, this is a bad idea.
Right.
And you want to go through the screen and tell them, this is a really, really bad idea. Like, get out of here. Like, you get...
And it's one of those things, too, where you totally... It's done so well. The comic was done well in that you didn't know... You really didn't know who to side with. Even though you had your loyalties and your belief systems of who you like better. Even in this movie, you know that there's something about Captain America that I think makes everybody... he appeals, I think, to a wider range of people. As opposed to Tony Stark's kind of... He's got the hubris and he's... A little bit of a not a little bit, but he's like a narcissistic and you kind of want to see someone punch him in the face. But their reasoning for having to sign up, the registration, you kind of get it. You can't really argue it too much, but you argue the fact that now they are going to have to answer to the government or the United Nations to facilitate their own interests. And that's where... there's the conflict of what's right and wrong. And I think that is explored well in this movie. But I don't know about you. As you're watching it, you can't totally agree with all of... Like, Cap's motivations are often clouded by his loyalty to Bucky. Would you agree or no? In this movie.
To a certain extent.
Almost, would you say almost to a fault where it's making him... not listen to reason or making the government look right?
No, because he's not... I don't think he was trying to cover Bucky's... What he did. I think he was just trying to... He was... No.
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 So before...
Like, he wasn't... He was trying to get to the bottom of the... Like, Bucky was still gonna obviously go through a process, but it wasn't going to be just, take him in, torture him, mess with his head. Like, no, there's a due process that needs to be done on both sides. And I think he was trying to be as reasonable as possible because he knew that the law was gonna go to such extreme measures they just wanted him dead. They weren't just gonna bring him in. They were going in guns ablaze to get this person who, under the influence of, can just lose it in a blink of an eye.
Yeah,
and Steve Rogers knew that wasn't his friend, and he wanted to genuinely help him.
Yeah,
I don't think. On the other hand, though, I think Tony is very driven by emotion.
Mm.
Like in the first Iron Man, when he finds out that his weapons are being used, when they're selling his weapons to the enemy, then he's like, oh my goodness, my company can't be making weapons. Mm-hmm. I will not allow this to happen. And then, so he changes his mind. Then when he finds out that whatever it is that he did to save a thing of people, there was a casualty. And someone, because they brought it to his attention, all of a sudden... we can't do this. We have to sign up for the government. We're murderers. We're this. It's so extreme.
Yeah.
And then he becomes blinded by, not to say that's not a problem. There's casualties in war. It happens. But that's not, I feel like a wombat with this thing. What is this thing?
I can't. For those who don't see, Dav J is referring to the top that she's wearing.
Why are my armpits and my elbows? I'm not understanding. Why do I wear this thing?
It's affecting your thought process.
It is, because I feel my arms, like, anyway.
So before, I didn't even ask you before, but Team Cap or Team Tony?
Always Team Captain America. Always Steve Rogers.
I've become a huge Captain America fan. Partially because of the movies, but I've also read a lot more Captain America than I've ever read in my life. And I realized that even though he wears the flag on his body and he's a symbol of patriotism, he is about ideals. He isn't about the U.S. government. He isn't about the superiority of it.
He never was.
And he's always fighting for the cause of protecting people, to stop the bullies, to use his abilities and strengths to the people that need it most for the greatest good. And even in the comics, there's a lot of, and I know this is off topic, but just the character of Steve Rogers, there's a lot of times where the government has said to him in the past, like, you've got to work for us because you represent us and you are an agent of the president. And he said, he goes, no, I'm not. I'm nobody's whipping boy.
Puppet.
Yeah, I'm nobody's puppet, even though I represent, this is where I come from and I fought in the war to protect my country and the rights of the world. I do not do the bidding of any particular, you know, government or political party. There's even been in the comics where he doesn't support, like, any sort of, what's the word? Presidential campaigns or mayoral campaigns, because he doesn't want to show partiality in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always admired that about Steve Rogers, is that he fights for the greater good, and it's more of an ideal as opposed to the nationalism or the country.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I'm saying? He's not fighting for American government to be superior.
He's a genuinely good person.
Yeah.
Who just wants to do good for people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
The fact that he bears the flag, okay, that's where he comes from, but that's not everything that he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one of my favorite things in this movie, that I knew a lot of characters that were going to be in it, but the way that the story was being told, it still surprised me when I saw one of those new characters come onto the screen. For instance, when they first introduce, when they have that summit of Wakanda,
mm-hmm.
and King T'Chaka is there. And you don't yet see T'Challa show up, but you know he's coming. And then you're reminded, oh my goodness, they're going to
introduce... Yeah, you're like, oh, he's in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you knew and you saw it in the preview, it's, for me, it was still like... Oh my goodness, there he is. He's gonna become the Black Panther. Like, you knew. You know what I mean? And that anticipation, or even the knowledge that it was gonna be there, was still, it didn't affect my movie going experience. I was like 30 minutes in and I'm like, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
This is so, and then they'd keep going, like, oh my goodness, now that's so good. There was even subtle things that the average movie going fan wouldn't know, let's say, about the Black Panther, for instance, because He is a character who's usually in the background a lot of times. He's a well-known character now.
He's not a front runner.
He's never really been like their top of the line.
He's not a forward.
Sure, but the way he's been presented in the last decade or so, maybe a little bit more, there's been a lot of strong Black Panther storylines, like very intellectual type of comics where he's not simply presented as a superhero, but he's a...
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this a bad question?
No, go ahead.
So, I just realized the Black Panther.
Yeah.
There was a group,
mm-hmm.
back in the day...
Called the Black Panther?
Yeah. Was it... Okay, who came first, chicken or the egg? This Black Panther or that Black Panther?
That is actually a good question.
Because did they base it off of... I'm asking, I'm wondering, I'm curious.
Well, that's a good point to bring up. Because when the Black Panther was created, it was very radical for them to create a character like that in a comic book where... Or in a time, in a decade, where... The civil rights movement was very, very much a topic of discussion, heavy in social activity. And for Stan Lee and Jack Kirby to make a character like the Black Panther, and this is what I heard on some other shows, it was an incredible statement on their part, because he wasn't represented in any way of segregation or in any light of him being, you know, from the bottom. And, mm-hmm. and he's like a hero representing the ghetto. This was a king.
Mm-hmm.
This was a wealthy, very wealthy nation that he was from. They were, he was extremely intelligent and had a lot of honor. And he had the ability to, on the intellectual level of the Tony Starks and the Reed Richards, to be on their level of intellect, but also to fight and possibly best Captain America. So this was a guy who was no slouch. You had to give him honor. You had to give him respect. He fought the Fantastic Four to a standstill, which was their way of showing a certain level of respect to perhaps that culture, so that people reading wouldn't look at, oh, look, he's, we'll take this black guy from the ghetto and he was a criminal and now he'll make him a hero. They didn't use that stereotype. They said, no, this is a guy of honor. This is a monarch.
I never made that connection until right now, until I heard you say it. And I'm like, I feel like I've heard that phrase before. Oh my goodness. And then I'm thinking,
I don't know if that's where they took it from. I can't say right. for sure.
I'm not in no one, yeah.
But it's a very good connection to think that that's possibly what they chose to
and
do.
And now there's like a positive connotation attached to that because you're saying now, like, he's obviously an integral character in the Marvel Universe.
Especially now.
Especially now.
Because everyone saw him in this movie and he was probably the most BA character in it. He tore his claws through the shield.
Yeah.
Right? And the vibranium comes from Wakanda because in the comics there is, it's, you know, an alien craft that crashed down.
And in the other X-Men movies, they did go to the village of Wakanda, did they not?
I don't.
Like, for example...
Because Wolverine is adamantium, not vibranium.
Okay, yes, you are right.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I don't recall, but...
knew that.
Yes, you did.
Had a moment of...
Everyone confuses adamantium, vibranium. Sometimes they're combined.
So wait a minute, the shield, though, is made out of...
Vibranium. That's why there's... This is really geeky, but the vibranium has a certain frequency, sound frequency, attached to its... mineral, that's why Captain America can make it ricochet off of things the way it does.
Hashtag science.
Hashtag it's a bunch of bullcrap science, but that's what they put in the comics. And the fact that I know that is...
That's great! That's what the podcast is for!
True. So there is the difference between adamantium and vibranium, and I think vibranium trumps adamantium.
So if he went up against Wolverine?
He could cut him. So Black Panther's a force to be reckoned with.
Hmm.
And in Wakanda, there's the Panther god that they worship. That's why he's their king, but he also represents their deity.
It's a symbol.
It's a symbol of the nation.
Okay.
So there's a lot of...
Very cool. I didn't know that.
So within the movie, when you see, I forget the actor's name now, I just know him as Watson and as Bilbo Baggins from
who are we talking about?
The guy in Civil War, he played Watson on Sherlock.
Yeah.
So he's a main character in one of the heralded Black Panther comic book runs written by Christopher Priest, Everett K. Ross.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him inserted and
wait, is he related to the Ross that we don't like?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's not.
Okay.
But he's a main character in one of the Black Panther books from the late 90s, early 2000s.
He's a good guy, right?
He's not a bad guy. He's not really like anything. What he is like the liaison of emissaries that come from different countries so that when they show up in the U.S., he's the one who kind of brings them around.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way that he is used in the Black Panther comic, the story is told from his perspective, observing everything that T'Challa does. And it makes it a little bit humorous. It makes it, instead of the story being told from the main character's perspective, seeing someone more like us that represents me, observing this amazing man from a country that no one knows a lot about
right.
is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So to see him used in the movie, nobody would really know who he is unless you've read those books.
Or unless you're listening to this podcast.
But to see that they've took all of these different things, you're like, wow, they even put him in there and they're using him right. And they've casted him so well, but it doesn't seem forced or like, oh my goodness, they're even inserting that. Like, mm-hmm. you know he's going to show up in the Black Panther movie, which gets you excited. So it was done so well, all of these introductions of, like, I can't even believe when I going into the movie and sitting here now that we're at a point with the Marvel Studios movie that they have Black Panther. They're mm-hmm. making a Black Panther movie. They made an Ant-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might think, like, well, yeah, Ant-Man was good. Like, why wouldn't they make an Ant-Man? But if you go back 5 years, you would be like, no, you're not gonna. Who knows Black Panther? Who knows, really, of all the Avengers, you're going to make an Ant-Man movie?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the other side of
it's
the
like
street.
It's like DC trying to make, how can I say? Who can I come up with? Green Arrow movie.
Well, he's... Yes.
Right? He's a guy, you know, but he's not the big three.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But they successfully made a show out of it now,
okay,
right?
Now.
But the fact that they even made a show out of it made you wonder, like, why him?
At first.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Like, why Green Arrow?
Yeah.
People gonna like that? Or even to think that they've made a Green Lantern movie that everybody was like, yeah, you can keep
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're all like, bring on the Black Panther. We want mm-hmm. more Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Just kind of shows how any character or team like the Guardians of the Galaxies can be successful if you just present it in a...
If you just try.
If you just try. That's the best way to put it. Now, one of the things that everybody was really, really anticipating in this movie, and I think concerned about, was the introduction of Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, we know there's been enough Spider-Man solo movies, not connected, but to now see him interact and live in the universe that the Avengers live in. It's incredible. But it's also frightening to be like, what are they going to do now? Are they going to do it right? How old is he going to be? Are we supposed to know those other movies? Because I hope not. What did you think of Spider-Man?
I thought he was good. I liked him. I liked him a lot. It was very different than what I thought it was going to be. I thought he would have been a little bit more seasoned because the story that I knew of Spider-Man with this association with Civil War is he was married to Mary Jane. His Aunt May was a little older. He's been doing this for a little bit.
His Aunt May was a little old. She's always been old. She's like 100.
But like he's been doing this yeah. for a while. He has his yeah. own reputation. He has he
he's Spider-Man.
You know, but you know he's introduced into this movie as a child. Perfect. He's a kid.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good though. When you see going across the screen, like I loved how they traveled so many places in the world.
Yeah.
It almost was like, okay, where's the story taking place?
Yeah.
Are we gonna settle in one spot? But then when you see Queens,
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I know what's about to happen now. And the way he's introduced is like no Uncle Ben backstory.
Mm-mm.
Unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love that they didn't bother with mm-hmm. that. Aunt May isn't some old bag, right? Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Hot Aunt May. Getting hit on by Tony Stark. Perfect. And what was cool is that they were once in a romantic comedy together back in the 90s when they were a little bit younger, right?
What was it called? Not Moonstruck.
Only
Cher.
You.
Only You.
Yeah.
That's true.
So now to see them on the screen together in the Marvel U, it was just like, wow. Like, that's so...
Yeah.
Coming full circle is so cool. But to see how Tom Holland, who was the actor who played Spider-Man, how he presented the character and how he was written. I know everyone said this already, but it's the best Spider-Man interpretation of all the movies, of everything. This is the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
It was really well done. I think his comedic points were on point.
Yeah, yeah.
It was...
The banter is perfect.
It was...
He had a New York accent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's great.
I liked when him... My one of my favorite parts, it's very, very not significant, I guess, but was when Spider-Man and Cap are at it a little bit, and then, you know, Cap kind of slows him down, and he's like, what part of New York are you from? Kind of thing. And he kind of acknowledges, he's like, yeah, you're from home. good for you.
That was my favorite part too.
Really?
Yeah. No. Oh, okay. That was the best part. Is that he's like, because I don't even think he says what part of New York. He just says like, where are you from,
yeah,
kid?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm from Queens.
He's like,
Brooklyn.
And it's like a respect between them, even though they were on opposite ends fighting. It was just spot on. Yeah. Like, I was watching all those scenes with Spider-Man when they were in that airport hangar, and I'm like, I don't, can it get better than this? This is so, and every person in that fight got their shine.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, Spider-Man obviously stole the show because he was being funny, and Falcon and Bucky were like, kid, you're in a fight. You want to shut up?
Yeah.
Like, they literally told him, like, you talk too much. And he doesn't register because he's a kid. Yeah. And it's like, yes.
That's it exactly. It did. It made those tense moments comfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, ah, the friends are fighting. And but it's like, ha, ha, ha. Like, there's a moment there. This guy says this or that guy does that. And you chuckle. And it wasn't just a light chuckle. Like, you're actually, I was LOLing. It was a real thing.
Yeah, it was great.
And it made that moment even better.
Yeah. No, it was, it really was the most, people had been saying, you know, it's the best fight scene in any comic book movie ever. And you're like, really? I mean, all the things that we've seen up till now, and now you're saying this one, and it was.
The only thing I would have to say, because I know we're talking about a lot of high points, the only thing I had, I guess, a hard time understanding was in the last Avengers movie, the image was such a powerful character, and in this movie, I found that he was kind of like held back a bit. I didn't see him really do. He was more of a babysitter.
Oh, the Vision.
The Vision! What did I say? The Image. See, I rename things all the time.
I'm thinking through yours. I'm like, what image is she referring to? Is it the Shield? Is that the Image? I'm like, no, oh, the Vision.
The Vision. The Vision.
I like it.
I'm sorry.
No, it works.
So, yeah, I was kind of like, what? Like, you were so big and powerful, and they didn't want to unleash this power, yeah. And then the diamond and the stone, and it was so blah, blah, blah. And now he's just playing housewife, making, like, Russian soup. And, like...
Domesticated. Do you know that him and Scarlet Witch get married in the comics?
No.
Yeah, there's a romance between them. So I think they're, like, they're showing that. Huh. Planting the seeds for that. Or even just insinuating that the relationship. Which I appreciate more than Natasha and the Hulk having this... romance.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But okay, now that you said that, that kind of makes sense that there was a little...
Yes.
There was something there.
There's something there, yeah.
Maybe not romantic per se, but there's a relationship.
Yeah, they have an affection for each other, respect mm-hmm. for each other, and I think that's a lot of why they were paired up together the way that they were.
Because do you think they'll take that story somewhere?
They might explore it more as the Avengers movies continue. I don't know that there's going to be any Vision or Scarlet Witch solo films, but
I guess it,
who
it
knows,
kind of pays homage to yes. the story of
yes.
them.
Yes,
that's somewhere in the universe.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but I found that the Vision was a little bit not used as much as I guess he could have been or was in the past.
Or maybe because he had to
suppress,
be the one to keep Wanda out of it, because her what she does at the beginning of the movie and not being able to completely control her powers is what kind of causes this thing to steamroll.
Yeah, but I don't think it really did, though. A guy had a bomb.
I know, but there were still casualties, and in
it's there not was really gonna be more casualties plus the good guys had they not done anything.
It's true, but I guess it's just their Tony's way of saying, keep her here. Don't let her get involved in whatever.
Yeah, and I didn't like that because Tony seemed like he had everybody on a leash. And if he didn't, that's when he went after you. He kept Wanda in like house arrest. Vision, who again is this unstoppable power, was, I guess, convinced or manipulated to, like, you know, stay here with her. So that's another power that's confined under Tony's direction. Like, he's a dick throughout the whole movie. And when I rewatch some of those, like, Tony Stark and stuff, like, yeah, his humor is funny and stuff, but there's a lot of him that I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't like you on principle.
Yeah. And it's meant to be like that, right? There's always supposed to be that thing that you like and find him funny and enjoy him on the screen. But then there's that also that part of him with the ego. It's just like, oh my gosh, we got to deal with this guy. So yeah, I think that's probably why I get what you're saying though, because it's like, yeah, the Vision can do some damage here, but I like that they didn't just simply go there for the sake that, oh, just throw Vision in. Like, they used him in a way where he would be occupied. But then the characters that they do introduce, like, I was wondering how they're going to use Ant-Man in this, and to see him become Giant Man later on. I should have known that was going to happen, but I didn't. It didn't even occur to me. Mm-hmm. And when it did, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's Black Panther, there's Giant Man, you got Spider-Man in this.
And Giant Man, like the actual Giant Man,
yeah,
dies in Civil War, like the actual comic book. Like the guy that plays a Giant Man.
Yes, Bill Foster. Yes. It's a different...
I understand. Yes. I'm just saying to you that it's, again, those subtleties that there's this big character who's in this big story that's not really there, but he kind of is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it was those kind of respectful nods to where they got...
Well,
the idea to do something.
Well, in the comics, Ant-Man is also known as Giant Man. He has that thing where he goes back and forth.
Okay, but as a viewer, and as a reader of the comic, I saw it as this is very respectable.
Yeah.
For you people to do this, thank you very much.
And the reference that Spider-Man uses how to take him down, they reference the Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was actually pretty funny.
So much fun.
Now, didn't he say, he's like, did anyone ever watch Return of the Jedi?
Or Empire Strikes Back. Remember that thing in the snow? Yeah, it was great.
And they're like, how old is this kid? Like, I don't think they knew he was a child until he started speaking. And his dialogue is what was giving his age away.
Yeah.
And that's when people were like, okay, like, get rid of him already because he's annoying.
But he was standing toe-to-toe, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And it was great because he'd be like, okay, I just have to tell you, I really, really, like, I'm your biggest fan. Or, like, he's like, I really admire you. You're my hero.
But dude, you got a metal arm. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. That part was good.
Yeah, it really was the highlight, I think, of that film. On a more serious note, the movie starts off with a scene of the Winter Soldier on a mission that you don't exactly know what it is. And then you also get into, they show Tony Stark as a young person. And him explaining the regret that he has of his parents dying. And that is a connected... Spoilers, that's a connected plot, a theme, that is brought back up later on in the movie. And if you're wondering how Bucky and Cap end up fighting Tony, it's because Bucky went on a mission
to... Well, at first, they're after Bucky because they think he's still killing people.
Yeah.
And then they find out...
Yes.
...what you were gonna say.
Yeah, so Bucky assassinated... Tony's parents. I don't think that is the case in the comic books. I'm pretty sure. And that wasn't any point of the plot in Civil War. But it is a very good way to bring them at odds. And now to break his trust with Steve Rogers. Now we're not even getting into the whole Baron Von Strucker as the villain. Because there's a
the
whole...
The who now what now?
The guy who gets them to fight. The one behind the scenes.
Okay, I thought that was
No, that's his name, Baron Von. So, he's the villain in this, but he's not the villain that actually comes to blows with the heroes. He's the mastermind that gets them to
fight
and to disassemble, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that may have been a little bit of a disappointment, seeing that there wasn't a real villain that they all teamed up to go after at the end.
Well, I think the message, though, the real villain was their disunity.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. I understand what you're saying, and yeah, a bad guy would have been, like, a real bad guy that we would have known or whatever, but I think it was just trying to highlight the point that they, if they're not together, they can't do anything. And that's their demise.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real villain.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Was that deep for you?
Very deep. That was deep end of the pool. It made you pause. It made me pause. I had to collect my thoughts there, find out where I was, what I was going to say next. I was just enthralled. So, I think that may have been for me...
Because he was just some Joe Schmo that just had a bad day. Not to be, like, dismissive or insensitive to having, like, losing someone. But the thing is that we all lose people. And like I said, in this situation, he wasn't the only one in that scenario, in that Sokovia.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah.
He wasn't the only one that...
Lost someone.
Because in the beginning, we knew that the
mother.
That, oh my goodness.
The other Viola Davis.
Yes.
I can't remember her name either.
She lost a son in that chaos too. Like, yeah. That's part of life. We lose people. And again, it's not to dismiss or to be insensitive to those realities, but it was just, in his case, it was just a guy who experienced this heartache and pain and took it upon himself to wipe out innocent people because of his rage.
Yes. I'm sorry, my mind is distracted because I think I said the wrong villain name. I don't think it was Von Strucker. I think Von Strucker is from the Avengers movie, the guy with the glasses at the beginning of the Avengers. I think this was Baron Zemo. Helmet Zemo was his name. Just to...
Do I have to reiterate what I said?
No, you don't got to reiterate what you said.
Or you're just going to press rewind and you'll listen to me then.
I'll listen to you then. I just realized, like, I'm talking... I completely misinformed. So I just wanted to make sure. Because the image in the comic book of the character is a really silly costume. He's, like, got a pink mask and you don't see his face at all.
The guy that he actually plays?
Yeah, the guy that he actually
plays. So is he an actual villain?
He is an actual villain. He is an actual Captain America.
But he wasn't portrayed as...
No, he wasn't portrayed the way you know him in the comics. And he's been in alliance with, like, the Red Skull and Hydra and all that stuff. So there may be more to him later on. Because at the end of the movie...
Can I have some chips now?
No, because you're going to crunch right into the microphone. We still got some more to do. This is a jumbo episode.
Okay.
Okay, we'll have chips. Well, I'll make you dinner afterwards. Okay? No crunching in the mic.
What if I had the chicken skewers with the pineapples? That's not crunchy.
Well, then that's going to be... No. Stop it.
Okay, you were saying this at the end of the movie.
The end of the movie, he Everett K. Ross is talking trash to the guy in that little holding cell, that little glass holding cell.
Yes, because the Panther brought him in.
Right. And he's saying, do you really think I didn't accomplish what I intended to accomplish? So there could be more to explore within
Did the he stories. Say that?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, he ends up saying, you really think I failed? So we'll see what happens.
Maybe his pink pants comes out then. Maybe it's just an introduction.
I thought you were going to say pink panties. Yeah,
maybe that's why his character was so minuscule.
It's a bit of a ridiculous costume. I'll show you later. If anyone wants to see what Baron Zemo looks like, you'd be like, yeah, it's a good thing they didn't put that on the thing. Like, it's all pink.
What comic book can you reference?
You can reference some of the Ed Brubaker Captain America stuff. Man, you put me on the spot now. Google a picture of Baron Zemo and you'll see what I'm talking about.
So it's very interesting because if he wasn't like the major villain that you're saying he is known to be, perhaps it's just, again, another character development of him becoming this person.
Could be.
In this instance, it was more him just being introduced and causing a mess, but now he has a vendetta.
Yeah.
Even more so.
And I gotta... Yeah. And you know, with you saying that about the villains, it brought back to my attention how many, like, key Captain America villains they've had within all of his movies that I think maybe an average viewer wouldn't notice as much, but for the geeks or the fanboys, they really inserted a lot of key components of the Captain America rogues gallery. Like, they had obviously the Red Skull, and then there was Batroc the Leaper at the beginning of Winter Soldier, the guy that he fights on the boat. That's an actual villain of his in the comic books. You know, at the beginning of Winter Soldier, he fights that guy on the boat, and they have that little battle.
Right at the Winter very beginning. Winter Soldier.
The French guy.
Beginning of, oh, yeah. That's the CF fighter. Yes. AFC fighter.
UFC.
UFC fighter.
Yes. That's Batroc the Leaper. Then they have Armin Zola, the TV screen.
Yeah.
Right?
With the glasses.
With the glasses. Then, of course, there's Bucky. Yeah. Winter Soldier, but it's also, you know, the teammate. And then there's Crossbones, which was also in this movie.
That's right.
You know?
Right in the beginning.
Yeah. So they've done it justice. Because, you know, you always think Batman has the best villains. And there's Batman, The Flash, Spider-Man. Those are the guys who have the villains worth mentioning. But, you know, Captain America had a couple of his own, too, which was good. They put them all in the movies, mm-hmm. which was nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got some more movie talk to get through. I don't want to cut this off short, but what would you score Captain America Civil War yourself?
Out of, what are we doing? Stars, numbers, letters?
Out of 85. Out of 10. Out of 5, whatever. What would you give it out of 10?
I think I would give it an 8.5.
What didn't you like?
I didn't, like I said, I found that the Vision's abilities were kind of suppressed and held back a bit.
Okay.
I didn't like that, like you said, the villain was kind of just a guy with a bad moment. It didn't really... But then I justify that by, like, well, it was just more... This movie was more concentrated on the actual characters themselves and how they were falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact, though, which we didn't really touch on, is that even though they didn't really see eye to eye, it was kind of like a good thing and a bad thing. That I like it and I don't like it. I like the fact that no one was, like, detrimentally hating each other. But they weren't exactly
holding back.
Yeah. So, for example, when Natasha and Hawkeye started fighting, like, they're fighting. Mm. And then they're like, so we're still friends, right? It's like, wait a minute. So why are you doing this if you're still going to be chummy?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you, as opposed to Captain America and Iron Man, they were really like... Where Iron Man's like, I want to kick you in your perfect teeth.
Yeah.
Like and he said it in such a way that he meant it.
Yeah.
And when Rhodey got hurt, mm-hmm. and him having to physically reteach himself to walk again, like, these are the repercussions of the disunity that's happening. But I found that with certain characters, it lacked that sincerity or
not. Okay, sincerity. Yeah, you didn't get the... I get what you mean.
Yeah, like, this isn't funny. Like, or... Right. It is. Like, it was good to have that kind of humor. But it's like, yeah, like, if you're gonna fight, like, be... Like, stand up for what you're... Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't just follow the crowd.
Right.
Just because...
I think that's... I have to agree with you on... Within that line of reasoning, the one thing that I didn't necessarily understand or... With Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow, like... What was her motivations? I felt like she sided with Cap because she saw the logic behind it. Or sorry, she sided with Tony because she saw the logic behind it and realized they didn't really have a choice. But then she quickly changed sides and allowed Captain America and Buck. And like, so it was, what really were you fighting for? Whose side were you really on? What were your motivations?
I just found that there was a lot of people, those that were on the fence, were very easily swayed based on emotion.
I think that's
even
the
with
part.
Black Panther, like, he's like, I'm going to kill the man that killed my father. And he's on this, like, road rage, like, mission.
Yeah.
And he's not holding back, and he's scratching people's shields. And you know what I mean? Like, he's just... He's not happy, with good reason. And then all of a sudden, when he finds out that he was after the wrong guy, he's like, I'm on your side. Like, I'm sorry, you don't just suppress those feelings. Like, there should at least be room a little bit of room of doubt or insecurity or confusion, if you will. And it was almost like too flip-floppy.
I think that comes with the, like, it was a long movie, but that those are one of those things where you couldn't really get in depth because of the constraints of time. Whereas if this was two parts, maybe you could extrapolate those character developments a little bit more. But
because the reason I know it's fictitious, the story and stuff, but these are people and we are persons with emotion. And you don't just wake up the next day and you're okay with something. Like, it's still, like, there's still a weight or a heaviness or something that sits in your chest that you may not know, at least for myself. I'll wake up in the middle of the night knowing that something is wrong and not know what it is, but I feel this thing in my chest. And then when I recall, I'm like, you know, you take a moment. You take pause and you think about, okay, like, what's the next step now? You know what I mean? You don't just change your mind.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the wind blows this way today and that's where I'm going to go. So I just found for such a movie that held so much emotion, I found that it lacked a little bit of consistency with people's feelings.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I thought it was fun. I thought it was entertaining. It was full of action. I thought it was funny. I love that, you know, people's characters came into fruition a bit more. You got to know them more, where they stood on certain principles. I wish, too, that Bucky was a little bit more developed as well. Like, he was the center of this whole thing, and he kind of just subsided a little bit. And then re-entered again. Do you know what I'm saying? It was a great movie. I loved it. But if I'm going to explain why I rate it what I'm rating it, it was just some inconsistencies were a little bit extreme from yeah.
Fair enough. I loved it. I was very, very pleased with the movie-going experience, even though it was so stressful to get there. We were on our own. We almost had our own civil war to get there. But I'll give it a 9.5. I really, really enjoyed it. I was really impressed.
What did I give it? 8.5?
8.5.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I don't know if it's better than Winter Soldier, but it might be. I really enjoyed the entire experience, and it made me a Marvel convert. Completely.
Mm.
Like, I've always been a DC guy first. That's always been where my heart is. But after this movie, it's almost like official. Like, I get why people have always argued Marvel's better. I believe them. I agree. And
now, are they better on screen? No. Or are they better even in the books?
Even in the books. It's okay. I've just come to accept, and I've read enough now to be like, There's something to go with here. And I love DC. Don't get me wrong. I still love it. This isn't a DC bashing episode. It's just, I got into reading Black Panther. I got into reading, you know, I've always read Spider-Man. Got into reading Captain America. And there's just so much good stuff, consistent stuff, that across the board, their characters I just find have a little bit more. And it could be just the publishing of it, and then the people involved in making the movies add that same sort of care to what it is that they're doing to say, let's make these guys work the way they worked in the books.
Mm-hmm.
They don't shy away from putting in B-list characters just because they're not the most popular or because they don't sell the most toys. Like, mm-hmm. No, Black Panther's good. Let's use him.
Yeah.
And I really respect them for that, and that they did it in a way that wasn't force-fed. It wasn't shoehorned in. It wasn't to just extend the franchise more. It's like, this is good storytelling.
My other reason for not giving it a full 10 or whatever, I didn't really, unless you can explain to me, I don't think I really liked the fact that the Winter Soldier went back to sleep, where he felt like he needed to, like, how are you going to get answers in the fridge? Like, I felt like it was a story that was, again, introduced and then kind of like, we'll just leave it for another time, which is fine. And but he was such an integral person in the story. He was someone who meant something a lot to Steve Rogers. And, you know, Steve went up against all odds to find him, to get him, to help him, to reason with him, to then at the end be like, I can't do this right now. I'm just going to go back to bed.
And I think, you're right. I felt the same thing. Like, really? After all this, like, you're asking to be frozen again? But you got to keep in mind, they've done it for a reason. And he's in Wakanda.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a Black Panther movie. It's not something that they're just going to put away and never address again. Mm-hmm. You know that they're saving it for a key moment. So it's all, I'm more anticipating, like, ooh, what are they, when is he coming back? What mm-hmm. are they going to do with that? Because mm-hmm. that's an extra bullet in the gun that they're making us forget about.
So it seems inconclusive, but you're saying that it's probably a build-up for something else.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And just so I make sure I leave this movie on a high note, what I do like is that they didn't really kill anyone. No. Which I was kind of, I was getting emotional when I watched the trailer. Like, oh my goodness, the friends. And they're like, someone's going to die. And when I saw Rhodey hit the ground, in the trailers, like, okay, he's the one that dies.
Yeah, dead.
He's the one that doesn't make it. But, you know, he made it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait. And then Cap is supposed to die, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
And now I'm happy he didn't die because I like him and what he stands for. And But something that happened in the comics that is true to the comics but didn't happen. It was a little change, a little twist, a little something, but it was so good. You left the theater feeling like, yeah, this was a good story, a good ending, a feel good conclusion. It wasn't
just because he died in the comic doesn't mean we have to do the story to be told well.
Exactly. A twist is good.
Right.
But it wasn't like, hey, Tony, let's be chummy again. It was like, you know what?
This has affected us.
This has broken us, and there's certain things that, if you want, we can fix, and I'll always be here when the time is right, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was, and again, kind of emotional, but not like overly, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good story. I liked it. It was fun. Yeah, it was good.
Let's get best Marvel movie for you. Marvel Studios movie.
Is there only one Studios movie? Marvel Studios? Which other ones are there?
All of the Avenger characters. Which one would you put above this?
I like the Winter Soldier. I like this one. I like this one a lot. I do like this one a lot.
But you can't say which is your... Like, you wouldn't put it at the top of the pile just yet. Nor should you. Like, it's not...
Yeah, maybe not yet, I guess.
Gotta watch it a couple more times.
I liked it. I liked Spider-Man. I thought he was so funny.
And they got that scene at the end with him in it, which was good.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's our movie review for Captain America 3 Civil War. I hope you enjoyed it.
This was part 3? Yes. 1, 2, 3. You? Yeah.
Yay!
No, because there was everybody in it, so it felt like an Avengers movie.
And I would say this is better than Avengers 2. This is a better Avengers movie than Avengers Age of Ultron was, my humble opinion. Anywho, if you guys want to hit us up and tell us what you thought of Captain America Civil War, email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. I haven't done that in a while. I have to refresh my memory. caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Let us know your thoughts on the movie. Feel free. Leave us a review at iTunes.com. It always helps to get the show...
iTunes.com?
On your iTunes.
Okay.
So on iTunes, leave us a review to the show. It helps get the popularity of the show up. It puts us in the hot and trending section on iTunes podcasts. As well, visit our website, and you can leave a post on the website, caveofsolitude.com. Once again, I am Eric Anthony.
Daphne J.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will be back very soon. Talk to you later.
Can I have my chips now?
Yeah, okay, you can have your chips now. That's fine.
Do you want them?
I don't think so. I wanna cook the stuff that we bought. The food, not the chip. You and your chips.
No, I can't have that. You know, I'm gonna spoil my dinner.
You know what we should do? Our season Like, you know how I name, like, these episodes, like, season two? Our season is basically almost up, right? So I wish I had, like, some bonus episodes, like, bonus footage. We'll do, like, a top five or top 10 Marvel cinematic favorite movies from the Marvel Studios.
I could barely answer that question now. You want me to make it a whole
episode? I'll give you a list of all the ones that have come out.
So you're giving me a cheat sheet based on what you like.
No, Marvel Studios. So all of the Avenger movies, like the characters, the Thors, the Iron Man, the Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, not the X-Men and those ones, or the Spider-Man, it's just the one from Disney. Would be like, because you know there's like 15 of them now?
That's crazy.
Isn't that nuts? Mm. Since 2008? Speaking of season finales, how about the Flash season finale?
Okay, you know what? No.
No. Okay, you don't like the show, but you did sit with me and watch the season finale. How good was that? Tell the people how good it was. It was good. Come on. You didn't get a little bit of, like, goosebumps when you saw
it?
When you like, not at all. It wasn't touching.
No.
You're cold as ice. You are. That show always gives me, like, plays the heartstrings. And then when they made the dad from another universe, J.K. Oh, go watch The Flash, season 2.
I still regret the fact that you bought season 1 on DVD.
Oh, I love season 1. It's so nice to watch on DVD. Mm. And I got it for a good price, so you can't even be upset about that.
Meh.
Come on.